Before we read this, let me introduce them to you. The first people I want to introduce to you, which you may have actually already known about since we've been going through Acts together, is the Samaritans. The Samaritans are a group of people that the Jews did not like at all. They were avoided at all cost. The Samaritans were hated, and one of the main reasons they were hated is because they distorted and twisted the worship of God. And to the Jewish people, that was a huge no-no. The second people I want to introduce you to are the apostles. The apostles are given this title of authority because they were eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. And then the last person that we're going to focus on in this sermon tonight is Simon. And Simon is a guy who, as we're going to read, has this ability to do these crazy things, and it gets people's attention, and so they follow him. And the Bible says that he has a group of people that revered him as a god or had the power of God. And so tonight we're going to go through these three groups of people and their motives. And as we go through there, my prayer is this, is that you and I would check our motives to see which group we line up with. And at the end, we're going to bring it all around and do a heart check, which I guess may be good before a business meeting. You know, we kind of make sure that we're on the right check. So let's start off here in Acts chapter 8. We're going to start off in verse 9. If you will, please follow along as I read. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man has the power of God that is called great." And they paid him attention because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was going, was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought that you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are all in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Father, I pray that as tonight we seek your face through your word, God, we desire that you would work in us and change us, Lord, that we wouldn't leave our places tonight the same. God, that your words written in this book that we hold so dear would penetrate like you promised that it does. That it would separate in our hearts the things that belong and the things that don't, Lord, so that whenever you convict us of those things, we would remove those and follow after you. God, I pray that you would expose in our hearts motives that don't line up to your holiness. Lord, we love you and trust you and pray. Amen. If you will, please look at verse 14 through 17. Verse 14 through 17 says, "Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." The first thing that you and I need to be aware of, Christians, is this. We are called to go. We are called to go. The apostles in this setting, they weren't going to just feel like they did something, to check something off of a list that they did. They went because in that time, you have to understand that the people who believed in Christ, they were initially Jews, and they thought that the Messiah was only for them. So this idea that Jesus also died for the Gentiles was foreign to them. And the apostles were sent to the areas where it was said that Christ was moving in to make sure that what was happening here lined up with what was happening at Jerusalem. You see, if the apostles go to Samaria and it's not true, then they have the opportunity to witness and tell the truth. But if they go and what they see is actually real, it's what they said was supposed to have happened, and they go in, they see all these things, they can report back to the church at Jerusalem that Christ was moving. And so now we have Samaria coming along and working, and Christ working in them in the same way that he's working in the church at Jerusalem. And you have this overall body of Christ that are working together. There's no disharmony. It is proven that they are of the same sacrifice that Jesus Christ laid for in the people of Jerusalem. When they get there, they realize that the Holy Spirit hasn't fallen on them. There's a couple reasons for that, and I'll break them down real quick. We won't go into them real deep. The first one, some people say the reason the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen on them was because they didn't really believe in the first place, that it just kind of said they believed a little bit, but not really. I don't necessarily think that one's the right one. Another one is that they say, and this is even true in some sects of Christianity today, some people believe you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but then in order to prove that you're saved, there has to come this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what that means is that you start doing some kind of thing in your life, the Holy Spirit manifests itself, and it's visible for other people to see. I don't think that's true in this situation either. What I believe to be the one that's true is that God allowed this little bit of time to pass so that Peter and John could come down and see for themselves the Holy Spirit fall on these people, so in their minds there was no doubt whatsoever that God had moved among this group of people. And what you and I need to realize is that as Christians, we are called to go into places that may be uncomfortable. We may be called to go and do things that don't necessarily make sense. And sometimes that's hard for us to think of as being okay. Peter and John weren't necessarily happy or comfortable with going to a place that they had been taught to hate for a long time. Think about that. You and I have prejudices in our minds about certain types of people, about, you know, kids that play their music too loud or play the wrong kind of music, or maybe they wear their jeans around their knees, which drives me nuts too. I'm with you on that one. But you and I have prejudices in our hearts against certain things. And there are going to be times when God calls you and I to go to those places, to get rid of those prejudices and seek those people, not so that you can feel good about yourself, so that they can receive Jesus Christ. Philip goes to a place and shares the gospel, and these people respond. Do you remember the last time that you went to somebody and shared the gospel and they responded? And they followed Jesus Christ. You see, we are called to go. We are called to go wherever God tells us to. God told Moses to go. God told Esther to go. God told Abram to go. God told Jonah to go. All throughout Scripture, we see this idea of God telling people to go. And so we have to have a motive of going in our lives as Christians. And if that motive is not present in our hearts, then we need to check something out because something's wrong. So the question I would ask you today is, when was the last time you went? When was the last time that you knew God was telling you to go do something and you went and did it? Because if you're like me, far too often God tells me to go and do something or go to a place that I may not be happy about or go talk to a person that I may not necessarily like, and I ignore him. But as Christians, we have to get that motive of staying where we're at out of our lives. We have to have a motive of going. The second thing that I want us to look at in verses 18 and 19, if you will, please. It says, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Simon had a motive to get. Do you see that? Simon's motive wasn't to go and to help people. Simon's motive was to get. And that is backed up by the first little backstory that we have of Simon. He was this magician who awed people with his great power. And the people even said that he had the power of God. And now all of a sudden, these people turn tail because they see and hear what Philip says about Jesus Christ. And he wants a piece of that. So he goes too. And then whenever he sees what Peter and John do by laying on hands, he sees this crazy miracle happen, and he wants a part of that power. Not because he wants to help people know Jesus Christ, but because he wants people to turn back around and say, look at him, he's got that power too. Look at how great he is. Are there times in our life where our motive is to get? How often do we sit in these church pews and know I'm just as guilty? And we want to get more than we go. How often do we sit and complain about something that has no effect on the kingdom of God whatsoever? But it's something that we could get, so we're going to sit and complain about it. Or we want some position just because it's going to benefit us. And we become this inward-focused entity into ourselves. And that's what Simon does. And later on, we're going to see Peter's rebuke of Simon. But I want to submit to you this. Whenever that little line in Scripture that says, and he believed, that belief wasn't a true faith in Christ. That belief word there is on the same set of whenever the Scripture says that even the demons believe in God and shudder at his name. But I promise you this, they're not going to be in heaven. You see, our motive to follow Christ cannot be about us. Our motive to follow Christ cannot be about getting out of hell. Or following Christ so I don't have to feel bad about myself. Or I'm just going to cover all my bases just in case. Jesus Christ is not about you getting what you want. Jesus Christ is about giving you what you don't deserve. Look at the next set of verses, please. Starting in verse 20. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you were in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Peter immediately hears this one red flag. He hears this. He didn't hear a red flag because you don't hear. Anyway, Peter hears him say this phrase. How about I just buy my way into what you're doing? How about I just buy my way into what you have? Peter hears this and he says, it doesn't work that way. And I love Peter because I tend to think that I'm like a really, really bad version of Peter, because Peter had his smart moments too. But Peter tends to be brash and say things that get him in trouble. But here, he's just completely blunt with him. He's not holding any punches. And as I kind of studied through this series or through this series of verses, I asked Patrick when we were in Denver. I said, "Hey, do you think that Peter is having this connotation like what Jesus did when he was talking to the rich young ruler?" When Jesus said, well, you know, the guy says, how do I enter into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, well, you have to do this, this, and this, and this. And the guy says, I've done all that. But Jesus is kind of setting him up and saying, well, then go and sell everything you have. Jesus was pointing to an area in his life that showed sin that could get at the heart of the problem with this guy. And I said, do you think Peter's doing the same thing with this guy? Or do you think Peter's just really mad at what he did and is just like going off on him, like telling him what for? What do you think? And he's like, I don't know, you figure it out. I was like, I appreciate that, thanks. But I actually do, because he makes me think. And so I thought about it. And I think it's a mix of both. I think it's a mix of both. I think Peter is talking to a guy who's a little thick-headed and doesn't really get it. And so he has to just be blunt with him and say, this is your issue. You can't buy your way in. Get it? What you are doing is for the wrong motives. This is not the way this works. And may this stuff happen to you. And it gets at the heart of this guy, and he says, will you please pray for me that that never happens? Peter is blunt with him and telling him this stuff because this guy's main motive is to get, when his main motive needs to be to grieve. His main motive needs to be to grieve over the sin that runs rampant in his life. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have to have this motive in our life of grieving over our sin daily. That we should be broken because of what we've done. And that there has never been a time where God has broken you of your sin. And your entire motive for being here tonight is to get something or to gain something or to be around somebody or to just be with friends or whatever the possibility of whatever reason or motive that you're here. If it is not because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, then you are here for the wrong motives. And Jesus says that this place here, I died for you on the cross, not because you were perfect, but because of your sin. And Romans says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans says that the wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone would answer, I would enter in and I would dine with him. The motivation for us is this what Jesus did on the cross. Not because he had to. Not because he was forced to. Because he willingly gave up his life while we were still yet sinners. Christ died for us. Because he loves us. And our motivation to follow Christ needs to be about that. That's why Matthew chapter 5 verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You see, when Jesus walks us through this process, it's not something to be taken lightly. In fact, Scripture says that we are to choose this day whom we will serve. Simon chose to serve himself. Who are you choosing to serve? What's your motive for being here? You see, if your motive is because you're scared of going to hell, so you're going to attend church a few times, you're going to check things off this I can do these things list, and hopefully my I did these things list for the good is better than the I did these things bad list. And hopefully whenever I get up there, I can say I did these good things, and they outweigh these bad things. It's not how it works. In fact, I call that fire insurance. And it's worth absolutely zero. It's like cloud insurance. It's not worth anything. Maybe your reason for being here or wherever you decide you want to follow God is based on emotion. Maybe it's because you heard God speak at this one place. Or maybe this one song just makes you feel really, really good. If you're following Christ, and listen to me closely, if you're following Christ is based on an emotion, that will fade. Because emotions are not eternal. And if emotions are the motivating factor, when the motivating factor leaves, so does the motivation. And so if your motivating factor is Jesus, who will never leave you or forsake you, Scripture says, then you have a faith in Christ that stands firm because he's the one that holds your salvation in his hands. And Paul says that we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by a faith in Jesus Christ. And if we can't do anything to earn it, then we can't do anything to lose it. So let's kind of wrap this up and do a pretty bow and think this through here a little bit. If we as Christians come through and we say, am I doing this because I'm following God and I know what he did for me and I want to serve him? Or am I doing this because it's going to help me gain something? That's what we need to ask ourselves whenever we come through any process in our lives. Why do you want to go to this function? Why do you want to serve these people? Why do you want to serve on that committee? Why do you want to be a part of this? Is it for your own self-gain, or is it for serving Christ? Scripture tells us to do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in everything consider others greater than ourselves. And some of you say, well, I'm doing this because I know what Christ did for me on the cross and I want to serve him. Great. It doesn't stop there. You have to go. Matthew 28, go therefore unto all the nations, is not, well, if you feel like it. It is a command by Jesus to go. And far too often I fall short of that. So let me ask you this, Christians. Are you having a motivation of going because of what Christ did on the cross for you? Because sometimes even that desire to go can be tainted by a, what's it going to get me? Is it going to get me some attention? Are people going to think better of me? Do I have to uphold this status of, he's such a great Christian? Why are you doing it? And maybe tonight you're like Simon. Maybe tonight you're like Simon and everything that you've done has been for the wrong reasons. You said some prayer however many years ago because you were scared of going to hell. Or you attend church because you think it's going to make you a good enough person to get into heaven. If your motivation tonight has been to get for yourself, you're going to have an opportunity to fix that. You're going to have an opportunity to give your life to Christ for the right reasons, because of what he did for you on the cross. And so tonight it's going to be a little different. We're not going to do an invitation because of our business meeting that we have coming up after this, but I want to encourage you, if that's where you stand tonight, come talk to myself or Rick or someone you know that's a Christian. And don't waste an opportunity to to have the right motives. Father, I thank you so much for the fact that you died on the cross. God, and even more so that you died for who I was. Because you loved me in spite of who I was. God, I pray that tonight the people that know for a fact that they don't have a relationship with you, God, those people that are even questioning whether or not their relationship with you is for the right reasons, God, I pray that you would work on their heart, that you would tug on their heart to a point that they couldn't stand it, Lord, and that they would reach out to someone and talk to someone about their situation. Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that you would give us the courage and the boldness to stand for you, to go for you, and to do so in the right motives. Lord, we love you and trust you, and I pray. Amen.